Today, Thursday, we've got a few people in the parking lot that are watching it through our virtual worship, and we've also got just a handful of people in here that are making the worship service possible. So thank you if you are joining us and worshiping with us online. We pray that our service of worship will be a blessing to you. Also, a couple of announcements that I want to highlight for you. Every day it is our practice here at Emmanuel Lutheran at 4:31 p.m. It coincides with Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and how the early church prayed. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to teach and preach and share the word of God with boldness. So if you want to join us at 4:31 p.m. Central Standard Time, we would love that. We'll be together in our separate places in prayer. Also, you probably know that this is the end of the 40 days of Lent. We enter into the Triduum, which is Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. And so normally we begin with Ashes on Ash Wednesday, and then we end this time tonight with Holy Communion and the foot washing. But needless to say, we are doing some things differently now because of the need to shelter in place. I pray that this service of worship will be a blessing to you, and we'll begin now with our confession and forgiveness on page 1 of your bulletin. Dear friends in Christ, in this Lenten season, we've heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that keeps us from loving God and each other. This is the struggle to which we are called in baptism. Within the community of the church, God never wearies of forgiving sin and giving the peace of reconciliation. On this night, let us confess our sins against God, our neighbor, and others as well. And let us enter into the Paschal celebration that we may be reconciled with God and with each other. In silence, let us confess our sins. Mercy, most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our gathering song, Jesus is a Rock in a Weary Land.
My Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. My Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. No one can do like Jesus, not a mumbling word he said. He went walking down to Lazarus' grave, and he raised him from the dead. My Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. My Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. When Jesus was on earth, the flesh was very weak. He took a towel and girded himself, and he washed his disciples' feet. My Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. My Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Yonder comes my Savior, him whom I love so well. He has the palm of victory and the keys of death and hell. My Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. My Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, your Son gave us a new commandment, and through his act of radical servanthood, he showed us the way of true love. Grant that we may share his servant nature as we live out your reign, awaiting the promise of his return. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
Our first reading is from Exodus chapter 24, beginning with verse 3. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will be the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Saint John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not now understand, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For Jesus knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Amen, amen, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I'm telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table close to Jesus. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the Passover feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, Judas immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow until you have denied me 3 times. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, on this Maundy Thursday, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. Perhaps you recognize the words to this song. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Washed with the Holy Spirit I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. St. Paul says in chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews, there can be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Tonight I want you to join me in looking at John chapter 13 through the lens of blood. Think about bad blood. And I don't mean just tainted blood from a transfusion, but bad blood. You know, when a relationship goes south, when it really goes sour, when there is conflict and it turns into major hostility and animosity. Bad blood. What's the antidote for bad blood? Well, good blood. There can be no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And so tonight we remember and we celebrate the new covenant in the blood of Christ, our Savior. My body given for you, my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. I've been redeemed, you've been redeemed, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost. All my sins are washed away. You and I have been redeemed. Bad blood. When I think about bad blood, I think about one of my favorite stories. A pastor friend of mine years ago shared this story with me. He was young, he was new, he was in a congregation, and he knew that you could kind of cut the tension in the congregation with a knife. But he was new, he was young, and so it took a while to gain the trust of the people, and eventually he figured out what the root cause of that bad blood was. And here's what the story was all about. You see, in the congregation, there was a young family. They had a 10-year-old boy. They had a 6-year-old daughter. They sat about 4 rows from the front of the altar area. Mom and dad on each side, the 2 kids in between. In those days, well, it was fashionable for young boys to wear suspenders. And so this 10-year-old boy would come to church, and he had a habit of snap, 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 snapping those suspenders. And seated right behind this family of four, this young family, was an elderly couple in their mid to late 70s. Now, I suppose that they could have gone to the second service rather than the first service. I suppose they could have sat in a different part of the worship space, but they didn't. They were accustomed to their spot. And what kind of added insult to injury is that this 10-year-old boy, when he would be snap, 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 he would kind of turn around and glance at that old gentleman, and he would smirk. Now, The elderly gentleman approached the parents and asked nicely, "You know, it would be helpful if your son wouldn't do that during worship. It's distracting and annoying, and it's hard to pay attention and hear the sermon and to worship." But the parents didn't do anything to contain the activity of their 10-year-old son. So this older gentleman decided one Sunday morning that he was going to take matters into his own hands. And so the young boy was snap, 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 turned around with a smirk, was about to snap again, but there was no noise because the elderly gentleman had brought a scissors with him to church, and he cut those suspenders. That was the root cause, my friends, of bad blood. Now, bad blood can exist between family members, around people in the same congregation, around the same table. Bad blood can exist in a community, in a school system, certainly in a political system. And sometimes it's short-lived, and sometimes it goes from generation to generation, like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Bad blood. The only antidote for bad blood is good blood. Our theme song this year during Lent is Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Filled with his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. So let's take a look at John chapter 13 through the lens of bad blood, because certainly there was enough bad blood around the table in that upper room, but there was also the presence of good blood, the blood of Jesus, given and shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Did you notice how John 13 begins? Jesus begins with an announcement. The hour has come. Now, the hour is important in the Gospel of John. It refers to the hour of the Father's glory. It refers to the enthronement of Christ. Specifically, it refers to the cross and Golgotha and Calvary. It says that already in this setting of Passover, as Jesus is sharing a meal with his disciples, that Satan has put it into the heart of Judas to betray his Lord. But Jesus has loved his disciples, we are told, to the end. Now think about that. Jesus loved them to the end, not until he took his final breath on the cross, but the word end literally means telos, to the appointed end, in other words, perfectly, totally, completely. Jesus loved his disciples. Jesus loves you to the end. And in the middle of eating a meal, not a Passover meal in the Gospel of John, but in the middle of eating a meal in the setting of Passover, Jesus takes off his outer robe, and then he girds himself with a towel. And he does the lowly task of the foot washing. Now, you know how Peter responds. It's beneath Peter to see his Lord serving like a common slave. You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, but if I don't wash you, if you're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, you can't have portion with me. You can't abide in me. You can't be with me now and forever. You must be washed. And so Peter says, well, then wash me from head to toe. And Jesus says, no, if you bathe, then the foot washing is enough. But understand what I'm trying to teach. And after he finished this enacted parable, this enacted sign, Jesus then, as the teacher, instructs his disciples. And he says, now, you understand what I've just done, right? But in case you haven't, let me spell it out. You call me teacher, you call me Lord, and you're right, that's who I am. If I then, your teacher, your Lord, have washed your feet, well, then I've given you an example that you should do for others as I have done for you. Blessed are you if you know these things and put them into practice. What Jesus is saying is we are blessed as we practice and participate and live in and live out the gift of being servants of his love in daily life. A new commandment. You see, it's new because the measuring stick is the blood of Jesus. To love completely, perfectly, totally to the end. That's the love that Jesus has for you and for me. Now, in the midst of this meal, in the midst of this Last Supper, in the midst of this night in which Jesus is betrayed, we're told that Jesus then announces to his disciples, "My betrayer is at table with me." Talk about bad blood. And the rest of the disciples all want to know, well, who is it? I mean, we thought we knew each other pretty well. So what happens? Jesus says, well, I'll make it real obvious. There were different ways in first century Judea of showing hospitality. You could wash feet, you could anoint with oil, you could give a kiss on the cheek, or you could use a sop, S-O-P. A sop was a morsel of bread that you dipped into a cup of wine and you placed into the mouth, gently into the mouth of another. A sign of intimacy, a sign of closeness, kind of like when a bride and a groom, for example, in a nice fashion, take a piece of cake and gently place it into each other's mouths at the reception. Do you see the irony? Jesus is, in fact, identifying his betrayer. And he does so with the humility and grace and love to the end of our Almighty God. We're told in Scripture in John 13 that immediately Satan entered Judas's heart. We're also told that it was night because Judas has made a choice. He's decided not to walk with the light, but to walk in darkness. We're also told that as he went out and did what he was about to do quickly, that Jesus talks about the hour of his glory and about he needs to leave. And Peter says, well, wherever you're going, I'm going. You can count on me. I'll go with you all the way to the grave. And Jesus, of course, has to say, well, you know, talk is cheap. It's one thing to talk about, they'll know we're Christians by our love, but it's another thing to actually demonstrate it. And so Jesus says, in actuality, here's what's going to happen. And in just a few hours, before the cock crows, Peter, you're going to deny that you know me three times. Bad blood all over the place in that upper room on the night that Jesus is betrayed. And the only antidote for bad blood is good blood. When I think about bad blood, I think about Genesis 4. I think about the fall of Adam and Eve and how they're booted out of the garden and how God blesses them with two sons. They get Cain and they get Abel and they're both farmers. And Cain, well, he takes care of the crops and Abel, he takes care of the livestock. But you can tell when you read between the lines of Genesis 4 that there was some disdain, that there was definitely some bad blood in the family. Well, you know the rest of that story. Cain brings an offering. Abel brings an offering. But in Abel's case, it's the best of what he has. And apparently what Cain brings is less than poor. The Lord accepts the offering of Abel, but not Cain. And of course, Cain goes ballistic. So the Lord says to him, Cain, I want to give you a warning. You know what's knocking at your door? That's sin. Sin wants to master you, but you can master it. Well, immediately, Cain goes out and finds Abel, and then he kills him out in the field. And the Lord hunts him down and says, Cain, what have you done? The voice of the blood of your brother is crying out to me from the ground. Bad blood. And the only antidote for bad blood is good blood. When I think about bad blood, I think about my first parish. I think about being a pastor in Lake Lillian, Minnesota, arriving there kind of wet behind the ears. That was 35 years ago. I remember there were a couple of men that weren't exactly close friends. They had been on the cemetery board way before I had come there, and rumor had it that there was a lot of bad blood between these guys, John and Roy. John said, "Look at the scar here. I was walking out of that cemetery. He hit me with a shovel when I wasn't looking. Look, see?" Well, I didn't take sides. I guess you would say I was bipartisan. And so what happened was John didn't exactly like the fact that if I didn't side with him, he thought I was siding with his arch enemy, bad blood. Well, about that time, I was meeting with the worship planning team. And in the midst of our meeting, we were talking about Holy Week, the week that we find ourselves in. And I said, "Oh, I hadn't noticed. You know, I was still new." And I said, "But for 2 years in a row, the scripture lessons are the Last Supper from the Synoptic Gospels, and then every third year, it comes from John chapter 13. I said, "That's the foot washing. Have you guys ever done a foot washing here? We could do a foot washing here on Monday, Thursday." And their eyes just about popped out, and they looked at me strangely, and they said, "No. That's what they did in the Old Testament, right?" Now remember, this was a Lutheran-free congregation, and they were steeped in prayer, and they were steeped in the Bible. They knew the scriptures. And I said, "No, I'm talking about John chapter 13. And they still looked at me strangely. Well, they pulled out their Bibles. They were good Lutheran-free, good piety folks. And we read John 13 together. And one of the gals looked at me with a big smile on her face, and she said, "Huh, I thought I knew my Bible. I don't know how I've missed it." She said, "You know, we could do a foot washing this year." And so we did. And two things happened that year with the foot washing. On Monday, Thursday, when we celebrated the Lord's Supper, the first thing is that I washed the feet of maybe 5-6 people. And then guess who came up? John. You know, the one that had bad blood with another brother of his, if you will, in the congregation. And I said, "Well, John, you need to sit right here and I'll take your shoes off." And he just shook his head. I said, "No, John," I said, "I can't wash your feet unless you sit down." And he looked at me and he said, "No, I'm going to wash your feet." And as he washed my feet, tears cascaded down my cheeks because I understood what Jesus did. I understood again. I mean, we can think about this in our heads, right? About how the only antidote for bad blood is good blood. And without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. I mean, we can read it in the Bible, but until we see the gift of reconciliation being actually practiced and performed, enacted, it was a sacramental moment for me. And then I said there was two things. The second thing is when we had the Lord's Supper. Because you know who was assigned to be my assistant? John Lawson. John was my assistant. And who happened to be there at worship that night? Roy. So here was John, the distributor of the blood of Christ, the little glasses with wine in them, the consecrated elements. And I thought to myself, is Roy going to come up? I mean, these guys really hate each other. There's really bad blood here. And so I went down the line, and there was Roy kneeling, and I said, "The body of Christ given for you." And then Roy held out his hands, and John placed the cup of wine into his hands. And John said, "The blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Reconciliation, bad blood being replaced with the good blood of Jesus. How is it that you and I can practice and live out this new commandment? Well, by being distributors of the good blood of Jesus. A week ago, or this past weekend, I should say, I was reading an article in the Post Bulletin, the newspaper here in Rochester, Minnesota, and it was a story about Josh Burry. Josh is in high school. He's a phenomenal athlete in Stuartville, plays on the Stuartville football Tigers team. And the article was written by Isaac Trotter. And I read this, and this is what Isaac was talking about this phenomenal boy with tremendous talents and with a wonderful work ethic. You see, what's happening during this pandemic that we're in, during this COVID-19, is that Josh gets up and he goes out to the football field and he does his workout for 2 hours. And then when he was done, he went and cleaned up a little bit and he went out and he collected trash, 9 bags of trash. And then he cleaned up and then he went to the Dairy Queen and he picked up some packets of Dilly Bars and took it to Coach Mueller's house because he's got 2 small kids, the football coach. And then he took some over to the home of some children that are special needs. You see, every fall, Coach Mueller and the football team, they have a special camp, a football camp for kids with special needs. And these kids with special needs, they look up to Josh and the other football players, well, like they're heroes. And to their credit, Josh and his teammates have not violated that respect and that honor. And then when Josh was done delivering the Dilly Bars with a little message that says, God bless you, then he went over to a neighboring town and did a 2-hour workout on the weights. Well, I read the story, and you know, curiosity killed the cat, but I like to find out the rest of the story, kind of like Paul Harvey. So I sent an email to Isaac Trotter at the Post Bulletin. And I said, there's got to be more to this story. I believe that faith is a big part of what shapes and forms this young man. Can you send me any contact information? Well, Isaac said, actually, there is more to the story. He said, but we couldn't put it all in there because we ran out of space. It's interesting when we run out of space, right, what it is that we end up having to omit or leave out. Well, he sent me Josh's telephone. I knew that it was a cell phone, so I sent him a text. I said, can we communicate via email? I think there's more to your story, and I'd like to hear it. And good Lord willing, I'd like to share it on Monday, Thursday. And Josh sent me an email, and this, in a nutshell, is what he said. Josh Burry said, Pastor Dave, my whole life is Jesus. He's what moves me, especially during hard times. What God has taught me is that when we all hit hard times, God has increased my faith. God has formed and shaped me. He said, I pray all the time. I pray before every game. I pray before every meal. I pray before bed. I sent him a text back. I said, what church do you go to? He said, Zion Lutheran in Stuartville. And I said, I bet you've been contagious. I meant contagious in a good way. And he sent back another email, and he said, well, there's about 20 to 25 of the other football players that always join me for prayer before and after the game. He said, you know, last year, I'd read this in the article too, that Josh, in 9 games, they went 8-1 last year, the Stuartville Tigers, and Josh had 1,994 rushing yards. I mean, this is a phenomenal athlete, right? He gives all the credit to God. He said, God has blessed me with talent. He had 30 rushing touchdowns in 9 games last fall. He said, I want to use the gifts that God has given me as a platform for his glory. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Filled with his spirit, washed in his blood. It's the blood of Jesus that makes us clean. It's the love of Jesus to the end, totally, completely, that empowers us through his Holy Spirit to live out and practice the new commandment. To love others, to love Jesus the way he first loved us. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. Dear friends in Christ, You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of the day is LBW, Lutheran Book of Worship, number 122, Love Consecrates the Humblest Act.
Consecrates the humblest act, and hallows mercy's deeds. It sheds a benediction sweet, and hallows human needs. When in the shadow of the cross Christ knelt and washed the feet of his disciples, he gave us a sign of love complete. Love serves and willing stoops to serve what Christ in love so true has freely done for one and all. Let us now gladly do.
On this night, we've heard our Lord's commandment to love one another as he has loved us. We who receive God's love in Jesus Christ are called to love one another, to be servants to each other as Jesus became our servant. Our commitment to this loving service is signified in the washing of feet, following the example our Lord gave us on the night before his death. Tonight, we are unable to practice the foot washing due to the need to shelter in place. We do, however, invite you to consider how you at home might serve your family or your neighbor in safe ways during the coronavirus pandemic. We continue with our prayers.
Let us pray to our merciful God on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Holy God, purify your church. Fill it with your spirit so it more perfectly loves you and the people your Son came to redeem. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this congregation. Fill us with your spirit so we more perfectly reflect the servant love of Jesus to one another and to our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bestow wisdom upon all who have authority and power in our world. Fill them with your spirit so they more perfectly accomplish your will for the well-being of the people entrusted to their care, especially during this global pandemic. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant courage and integrity to our military, to all first responders and medical personnel, and to all who risk their lives for the sake of others, especially during these dangerous days of COVID-19. Fill them with your spirit so they more perfectly establish safety, peace, and healing in this troubled world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We plead on behalf of everyone who is sick, grieving, and in need of healing, especially those who seek our prayers.
Gracious Father, we pray this day for Elaine, for Pam and her daughter Katie, for Melody, for Dan and Barb, for Kelly, for Denny. We pray, Lord, for Amy and for Bernie, for Diane, for Clayton, for Karen, and all those that we name before you, out loud or in the silence of our hearts.
Fill them with your spirit and grant them complete restoration as they cling to Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, in the sacrament of Holy Communion, we share a foretaste of your heavenly feast, prepared for all whom you have redeemed by the passion, death, and resurrection of your beloved Son. Fill us with your Spirit, so we might more perfectly take up our cross, follow Jesus wherever he leads, and encourage one another along life's way. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. For these things and for whatever else is needful, dear Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, our living water and our merciful guide, together with rivers and seas, wells and springs, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert and provided them water from the rock. We praise you for Christ, our rock and our water, who joined us in our desert, pouring out his life for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples. And he said unto them, "Drink from this cup, all of you, for this cup is the new promise in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your Spirit on this holy food and on all the baptized who receive the gift of Holy Communion. Wash away our sins, that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Dear friends in Christ, normally we would be giving an invitation and we would be gathering around the table as beloved brothers and sisters of the Lord and receiving his body and his blood. Tonight, again, because of the need to shelter in place, we are simply allowing people who are in the parking lot, one vehicle at a time, at a safe distance to receive the Lord's Supper from 7 o'clock until 7:30 p.m. Let us pray. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who
art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn, Go to Dark Gethsemane, hymn number 109 in the Lutheran Book of Worship.
Go to Dark Gethsemane, all who feel the tempter's power. Your Redeemer's conflict see, watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his griefs away, learn from Jesus Christ to pray. Follow to the judgment hall, view the Lord of life arraigned. Oh, the wormwood and the gall, oh, the pangs his soul sustain. Shun not suffering, shame, or loss, learn from him to bear the cross. Calvary's mournful mountain climb, there adoring at his feet, mark that miracle divine, God's own sacrifice complete. It is finished, hear him cry, learn from Jesus Christ to die. Early hasten to the tomb where they laid his breathless clay. All is solitude and gloom. Who has taken him away? Christ is risen, he meets our eyes. Savior, teach us so to rise.
My God, why have you forsaken me? And are so far from my cry and from the words of my distress? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not answer, by night as well, but I find no rest. Yet you are the Holy One, enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Our forefathers put their trust in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried out to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not put to shame. But as for me, I am a worm and no man, scorned by all and despised by the people. All who see me laugh me to scorn. They curl their lips and wag their heads, saying, "He trusted in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him if he delights in him." Yet you are he who took me out of the womb and kept me safe upon my mother's breast. I have been entrusted to you ever since I was born. You were my God when I was still in my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there's none to help. Many young bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their jaws at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart within my breast is melting wax. My mouth is dried out like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And you have laid me in the dust of the grave. Packs of dogs close me in, and gangs of evildoers circle around me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. They cast lots for my clothing. Be not far away, O Lord. You are my strength. Hasten to help me. Save me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, my wretched body from the horns of wild bulls. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Praise the Lord, you that fear him. Stand in awe of him, O offspring of Israel. O you of Jacob's line, give glory. For he does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty, neither does he hide his face from them. But when they cry to him, he hears them. My praise is of him in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall bow before him. For kingship belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations. To him alone All who sleep in the earth bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust fall before him. My soul shall live for him. My descendants shall serve him. They shall be known as the Lord's forever. They shall come and make known to a people yet unborn the saving deeds that he has done. Let us pray. Father, when your son was handed over to torture and felt abandoned by you, he cried out from the cross. Then death was destroyed and life was restored. By his death and resurrection, save the poor. Lift up the downtrodden. Break the chains of the oppressed, that your church may sing your praises through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.